Glass half empty. I wonder how you would describe yourself here today. Are you a person who would see the glass as half empty, or would you see the glass as being half full? Are you someone who looks at situations in life, are you quite positive, or are you quite negative? Maybe you want to take a moment to ask the person who's maybe sitting beside you in the car what they think of you. Are you positive or negative? Glass half empty or glass half full? Well, let's just look at what we're going to see today in this passage and this subject. The children of Israel have left Egypt. They've passed through the Red Sea. They came to Mount Sinai where they were camped for a period of time. They received the Ten Commandments and there the tabernacle, the place of God's worship, was built. And very soon after that, they travelled to the very edge of the Promised Land. And in order to get ready to enter it, 12 spies are sent in to see what was before the people. And in the passage we have read today, the spies have returned and given their report. And for most of the spies, the glass was half empty. And we're going to think here, why so often is our glass half empty? Why so often do we look at things in a negative way? Well, a negative outlook can come from having quite a negative personality. Some people by nature are more positive than others. And in some senses, you can't change that totally or change it a lot. But there are other important factors, spiritual factors, which will help determine whether we look positively at something or negatively at something. And if we are someone who is maybe very negative in our outlook, some of what we look at today would maybe help us to look more positively at what God would want us to be positive about. And what we're thinking is not just being positive about everything. You can't be positive about everything in life. There's some things in life which you can't be positive about. But we're thinking today about how can we be positive about those things that God wants us to be positive about. And how can we be a people, even in the middle of darkness, have hope for the future? So, why do people look at things with a glass half empty? As we look at the story here, I think the first thing is fear. The 10 spies who gave the bad report, I think, did so because they were afraid. They were afraid of the opposition that awaited them in the Promised Land. They were afraid of the challenges that went before them. And they were afraid of going into the unknown. And fear can be a very crippling thing. And maybe as we look at something that God wants us to do, and we are quite negative about it because we are afraid. Afraid of what we will face, afraid of the challenge before us, afraid of going and doing something which we haven't done before. And the danger is that this fear can cloud our whole attitude and how we respond to the situation. The second thing we see here about the glass half empty is diminishing the blessings or minimizing the blessings. In verse 32, we see that the spies give a bad report about the land. They describe the land as devouring the people. But that was not true. It was a good land, a land that flowed with milk and honey, it said. It was a land that was very, very fruitful. But they give a more negative look at the blessings that awaited them. And the reason why they were doing this and giving this more negative look at the blessings was fear that was controlling them. They didn't want to go in. They didn't want to do this. And so they downplay the benefits of going forward. And that's what we can do as well. The Lord is wanting us to do something. He's wanting to put blessing in our lives. And what holds us back is that we are a people who are afraid. And so we downplay the value of God's blessings. The third thing is exaggerating the challenges in verse 33. They describe the inhabitants who do appear to be particularly tall, these inhabitants, but they describe the inhabitants as being so big that they look like grasshoppers before them. Now, for that to be the case, these people would have had to be about 200 feet tall. And so they're exaggerating the size of these people. They're exaggerating how difficult the road ahead will be. So do you see how the glass half empty comes about? Fear. Fear then leads to downplaying the benefits, the blessings, and then exaggerating the challenges that are ahead. But the fourth reason is maybe the most important one. They were leaving God out of the picture. As they looked at the land, as they looked at what was before them, as they looked at the challenges, God is not mentioned. They're just looking at it from a totally human point of view. God doesn't come into the equation. And that means that what they were looking at, the picture that was they were presenting and thinking in their own minds, was unrealistic. Sometimes Christians are accused of escapism, of not being realistic. But I want to say here that the only people in this world today who truly are realistic are those who have God in the picture. We only see this world as it truly is. We'll only see our lives and the future as they truly are when God is in the picture. It's only when we put God into the equation that we begin to see things as they really are. So there we see some reasons why the glass was half empty for these spies. But then secondly, we see the impact of the glass half empty. And we begin to see here that a negative attitude, is not just a trivial thing. Having a negative attitude about things that we should be positive about can have very severe consequences. We see, first of all, there is rebellion at the beginning of chapter 14. In response to the report of the 10 bad spies, the people complain against Moses and Aaron. They complain against God. And now they say they want to go back to Egypt. They don't want to enter the promised land. They want to go back to slavery. Now that is absolutely shocking. Because you remember what happened in Egypt? They were treated so harshly. Their baby boys were being put to death. And yet they want to do that instead of doing God's will. The negative report, the negative attitude of the spies had a tremendous impact on the people and led to this rebellion. And we need to be so aware of that. If we are people who are negative in our attitude towards others can be very detrimental. Not just that we can get other people down, that's one thing. The problem is that we can hinder people from having a positive view about what God is calling them to do. And we can, in our negative attitudes, can hold people back from going on with the Lord. The second impact was indeed judgment. Initially, God says in response to the rebellion of the people that he's going to disinherit the Israelites. He's going to wipe them all out. Moses intervenes. Moses prays and intercedes for the people, and God responds in mercy. But that's not the end of the matter. God's not going to wipe the people out, but the 10 spies who gave this negative report, the glass half empty, they are put to death with a plague. And the rest of the adults, with the exception of the two good spies, Joshua and Caleb, the rest of the adults would die in the wilderness. They would spend 40 years in the wilderness, and all the adults of Israel at that time would die in that wilderness, and none of them would enter the promised land. And so this negative attitude, this refusing to trust God and to focus on what God has offered, led to God's judgment on the people. And you see why, indeed, how we look at things, our attitude to things, is truly important. Because a very negative attitude can take people all the way into judgment. The third impact of their negative attitude was godless activity. When the people hear that God isn't going to go with them, that they're going to spend the time in the wilderness, later on in chapter 14, they decide themselves that they'll go into the promised land. They decide themselves that they will do this. But this wasn't God's will for them now. And so because they refused God's will and presence before, they end up doing activity which God is not in. They're busy doing this, God isn't with them, and they suffer severe defeat. And you see, when we refuse to go God's path, when we refuse to trust what God is calling us to do, we will end up doing things which God doesn't want us to do, and doing things in which God is not present in. This negative attitude of obeying God and following God's will leads to a life of activity in which God is not in the heart of it. And that is awful. That is empty. That is totally unfulfilling. A life of activity in which we're busy, 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 but God is not present in it. So the impact of the glass half empty was rebellion, judgment, and then godless activity. Let's come to our final point, which is overcoming a glass half empty. When we're looking at things and see things in a negative way, how can we overcome this? How can we have a different attitude? How can we have a positive attitude and go on with the Lord and do His will? Well, first of all, we need courage to be different. Here in chapter 13 and verse 30, Caleb stood out against the crowd. The 10 bad spies were saying, no, this is not good. We can't go ahead. Caleb, he overcomes that in his own life by saying, no, I'm not going to listen to you. I am going to believe what is right. And he is then supported later on by Joshua. Two men standing against the 10 who were negative. And if we are going to be people who are going to know God's blessing in life, if we're going to be people who indeed will know a path of richness and blessing in doing God's will, we have to have the courage to be different. We have to say, even when the majority are saying something different, we don't agree with that. That takes courage. That goes against the trend, goes against the flow. That can mean for our elders, the majority of elders can be one saying one thing which is negative, and maybe one or two are thinking something differently. They need to speak up and be courageous. It's the same with our committee men. It's the same in your own homes, in your families. You need to have the courage at times to say, no, that's not what God is teaching. That is not the path of faith. I will go in a different direction. We need the courage to be different. We need the courage not just to be yes men or yes women or yes young people. We need to be willing to stand up and be counted. Secondly, the important thing is having a fair assessment of the situation. In chapter 14 and verse 7, what indeed Joshua says is indeed, he says to people, the land that we pass through is an exceedingly good land. Do you remember what the people said? The bad spy said, it's a land that devours the people. Joshua overcomes that by giving a fair assessment, an honest assessment of the land. Now, the problem with all of us is we're all biased. When we look at situations in life, we'll all come to those situations with a bias. And we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware that we have bias over the things we like, over the things we don't like. But we need to be careful that we assess things in life fairly. And we can only assess something fairly by indeed assessing it in the light of God's word. And so when people are talking about a situation, when people are talking about something, when you're thinking about something, ask yourself, what does God's word say on this situation? What is the fair way to look at this? praying that God would give us wisdom. James says, for those who lack wisdom, ask of the Lord, who will give to those who ask. We need to be those who will look at things fairly. We all have a bias, and we need to be aware that at times our bias can blind us. The bias of these 10 bad spies was indeed suffocating them, suffocating their spiritual life and holding them back. And the third thing in this is focusing on the Lord. And that's what Joshua and Caleb do. They say in chapter 14 and verse 8, we can do this. The Lord can do this. The Lord can give us the victory. The Lord can lead us to take the promised land. They focused on the Lord. And you know, by focusing on God and giving God his proper place in our lives, that can really help us. What does the writer of the Hebrews say? Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. He says that in the context of running the race. How do we run the race? How do we keep going on for the Lord? Keeping our eyes on Jesus. Think of Paul and Silas in Acts 16 in prison in Philippi. They had been beaten. They had been arrested. They were lying in probably a dark, smelly prison cell. They were in chains. They were sore. And what are they doing at midnight? They're singing praises to the Lord. How could they do that? How could they have a glass half full in the middle of that crisis? Or even a glass totally full? The Lord hadn't changed. The God who loved them, the God who's in control, the God who has a purpose for their life, he hadn't changed. And so they looked at the situation differently because they looked at the situation through the eyes of the Lord, through the eyes of faith. Think of the story of Peter. I often share this with people. When Peter was walking on the water to meet Jesus, do you remember when Peter was all right? As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. And when he looked then at the wind and the waves around him, it's then he began to sink. He was all right as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. How do we do that? It's not easy. How do we keep our eyes on Jesus? Well, I think one of the most important things is spending regular time in God's word and praying day by day. Regular time also praising God as we do that. Because the more that God fills our thinking and fills our minds, the more in a time of crisis we will be enabled to keep our eyes on Jesus and be positive of what was ahead. I love the story of Caleb. And for anybody here today who's 80, you should love the story of Caleb as well, because Caleb was 40 years of age at this time. 40 years later, when Caleb and Joshua and the children of Israel eventually did enter the promised land, where does Caleb go? He goes into the hill country because that's where the giants lived. He wanted to go and fight the giants. He was a man who had his eyes on the Lord, and even in his 80s, he was ready for these spiritual battles. He was focusing on the Lord, and his glass certainly wasn't half empty. Just as I conclude, let me just mention two things. A glass half empty approach will hinder people from coming to Christ and salvation. If you're not a Christian here today, let me tell you what is going on in your minds. The devil, among other tactics, will be indeed saying to you that indeed, you don't really have to do this. The blessings of coming to Christ are not significant. He is downplaying that. He will also be saying to you, you can never keep it up. You be a Christian, you follow Jesus, you're not that sort of person. You could never do it. And so he is diminishing the blessings and exaggerating the challenges. And he will keep doing that. And if you're not a Christian, he will be successful in using that to stop you from ever coming to Jesus. But if you take your eyes off his lies and what he says and focus on Jesus and how he promises all who come to him, he will never turn away. He promises to be with you. Yes, you can't keep it up, but he promises to keep you. He promises to give you blessing in this world and in the world to come beyond anything you can measure. Yes, he says there is a cost, there is a price in following me, there is a challenge, but I am greater than any challenge you face. I will carry you through. Look to Jesus. So this glass half empty approach to salvation will be taken away. And can I say to those who are Christians, a glass half empty approach can hinder God's people from advancing in faith. Listen, we have a devil who wants to discourage us. We have a devil who wants to stop us serving him and going on in faith in regards to the gospel. We have a devil who really wants to do that. But we need to not let him win. We need to realize what he's playing at. We need to be positive. We need to realize that the God who calls us, the God who calls us to step out on a limb, is the God who will supply our every need. And the wonderful thing is, when we step out on a limb, when we go into paths unknown, as God calls us to, it's then we'll come to know this God and experience this God in a way beyond anything we've known before. So let's be very careful that our bias, our prejudice, when we hear things being talked about for us to do as a church, or maybe what God is speaking through your readings, wanting you to do, be very careful. Don't be negative. Don't look at all the minuses. Say to the Lord, is this your will? Take your concerns to the Lord. Let him deal with them. And then step out in faith in the path that he calls you to take. Let us be aware of Jesus, who indeed even the thought of the cross, the agony of that, he had every reason to be someone who would look with a glass half empty. But what does it say in Hebrews 12? Because of the joy set before him, because of the joy of doing the Father's will, because of the joy of seeing people saved from their sin, Jesus goes all the way to the cross in obedience to the Father. May he be our example, and may we know some of his joy as we step out in faith. Amen. Let us pray together. Father, we want to thank you for your truth. We want to thank you for your word today. And Father, forgive us when we are like so often the 10 bad spies who came with their negative report. Forgive us, Father, when we exaggerate the challenges that are ahead of us. Forgive us, O Lord, for when we indeed downplay the blessings that we can receive in going your way. Father, forgive us for when we allow fear to rule us. Forgive us when we look at situations and make decisions without you, O God, at the very center of all that we plan. Lord, forgive us, we pray. Have mercy, we pray. And Lord, help us to be those who will be like Joshua and Caleb of old, men and women of faith, people who are aware of the challenges of this world, but people who are even more aware of the great God who can enable us to overcome. And Father, for any who are not saved, for any who the devil is putting off coming to Christ with a negative report of the beauty of the land that a Christian will occupy, the beauty of being in Christ, Lord, help those folk today to see that indeed the devil is holding them back. Help them to be those who will take the step into new life as they will trust in Jesus and repent of their sin. Give them the grace of God to do that. For we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.